May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, may the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, dear ones, be with you all. Amen. Ah, the American dream. People from around the world want to come here and live here and work here. Because not only did we do a good job selling the American dream to each other, we had a good success selling it to the world. Those of you who are students worshiping this morning, you get a taste of this, a desire of this. This is part and parcel to the reason we study. Our politicians constantly argue about the best ways to preserve the dream or make it accessible. Taxes, tariffs, inflation, trade, all of these things have become common for us to talk about. And what is this dream? It's very simple. It's one word. The American dream is more. Have a home, want a bigger one, more space, more lawn, more garage. Have a car, a truck, you need a newer one with more power. Or a hybrid, or maybe something European, a BMW, or as my grandfather used to call them, a Mercedes. You have a home that makes you happy. You have a home you're finally content in. Maybe you need another house, one in Colorado, one in Port Aransas, one to loan Pastor Bart or Pastor Eden on weekends. The American dream is more, more clothes, more money, more shoes, and better. A better place, a better deer rifle, better ease of life, a luxury watch, fine jewelry, a better vacation, more toys. Pastor, are you saying that there is something wrong with having nice things? I am not. The scriptures are full of wealthy people who serve the Lord with great aplomb. The problem, dear ones, is when the dream, the motivation for more, becomes our God. Rarely, Pastor Eden, do we get to read Amos, but we do today. Amos chapter 6, the reading, verse 4, 5, and 6. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory, stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs and flocks and calves in the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. There comes a time when any serious student of the Bible is forced to answer the question, why? Why do God's people, coming out of the desert, going into the land, flowing with milk and honey, why do God's people, walking into a land where the seed has already been planted and growing, where sometimes the harvest is waiting for them just to go harvest. Why do God's people who have move-in ready farms, what do I mean by that? Literally, the animals were there, the grapevines were there, the olive trees were planted, everything was set for them. Why do God's people, after He gives them the abundance of the promised land, start worshiping the idols? Because they wanted more. The bounty of the promised land wasn't enough. And yes, God had given them an enormous amount of bounty. And yes, everything was key ready. They walked right in and started living in these communities, having driven out the Canaanites. But it wasn't enough. They were driven to want more, to be discontent. And then so looking around, they said, you know, the Canaanites did really, really well worshiping Baal and worshiping Ashtaroth. So we should try that, because God got us this far. God gave us this much. But maybe if we try the gods of the land, things will work out. Maybe if we try the gods of the land, we'll be blessed. Dear ones, money makes promises it cannot keep. Money makes promises it does not keep. But the promise of luxury, the promise of more, the promise of holding everything for yourself, it's a hoax. Eventually, you're going to gather more and more and more, and eventually you're going to die. And what are your children going to do with all the more? All those precious moment figurines you've collected. 17 ARs in 4 different safes hidden around your property as if you're General MacArthur. You know what your kids are going to do? They're going to sell it all. Some of it they're just going to give away. And this is one more reason why you and I can't see earth after we go to heaven. Because we'd be leaning over the edge of heaven going, "No, don't sell that! Do you know how much I paid for that?" Luxury is a hoax. It's a lie. That you are somehow going to find contentment in the gathering of more. An old pastor told me once, he said, "Randy, sometimes it's just more grass to mow and more house to dust and more things to pay taxes on." We don't ever see it that way because it's the American dream. Amos is a herdsman, a farmer. And Amos is a prophet during the time that the nation of Israel has been torn into two pieces. The southern kingdom of Judah, where Amos is from, and the northern kingdom of Israel, sometimes in the Old Testament called Samaria. Amos here calls it also Joseph. And God sends this farmer in bibbed overalls, at least in my picture, in my mind. God sends this farmer to the wealthy Israelites in the north. "Woe to you who lie on couches all day. Woe to you who eat meat all day." "Pastor Bart, is there anything wrong with eating meat?" "Thank the Lord, no. But you must understand that for most of the world, even today, meat, daily meat, is a luxury. Most of the world does not get out of bed with the question, 'Which breakfast meat am I having with my eggs and toast today?' Most of the world gets out of bed wondering what God has provided for them that day. Meat for the Israelites was so commonplace because they had so much. And Amos speaks to that, not because of what they're eating, but because of their unthankfulness and their discontentment. They've bought the hoax that more for me now, is so much better. Dear ones, it's not the idea of having nice things, although my father used to look at me and say, "Randy, you are the reason your mother and I can't have nice things." It's a misunderstanding of what God has called us to. He gives to you, He blesses you, so that you and I might be a blessing to others. And that is the question today. Why does the Lord bless me? The Lord does not bless me so that I can gather more and more and more for myself. The Lord blesses me so that I might bless others. That's just not a cute mnemonic. It's a gospel truth. What God has given to you and I, the abundance that He has given to us, He calls us to give way. Is this not the gospel? Is this not how you are saved? Someone in your family, someone in your circle of friends, recognizing that you needed to hear about Jesus Christ, or recognizing that you needed to be baptized, understanding the abundance of salvation that God had given them, made sure you heard the word of God. Someone shared with you the very first time that God loves you and that Jesus Christ has died for you and taken away your sins. Someone taught you the very first time that you are forgiven because of Christ. They didn't hold that to themselves. They shared that with you. And where would you and I be without the gospel? Where would you and I be without this wondrous truth in our lives that God has loved us so much that He has sent Jesus to die for us? We choose as Christians to be like Jesus when we choose not to hoard it all for ourselves, but when we open our eyes to the need around us. Do you not see the poor? The authentically poor? Go eat lunch this week at Twin City Mission. They will serve you lunch there. Talk to the young ladies who run that place so very well. They will tell you about the indigent population in Bryan College Station. They will open your eyes. Go volunteer at the church pantry with another Bethel member and watch the people who come once a month to get their extra box of food that gets them over the top. Go sit with the folks at Still Creek Ranch who feed 3 or 4 dozen throwaway kids every day. Are our eyes not open to the care and the need, even of the genuinely poor amongst us? Pastor Ward, why do you keep saying authentically poor and genuinely poor? Because let's be honest, there are people who consider themselves poor who have 85-inch televisions and brand new iPhones. I don't have that, so they're not poor. That's my definition. Not only do we not notice the poor, but do you not notice the unsaved? They surround us. Talk to Karim Badawi, who shares the gospel with hundreds of Muslims every year, baptizes dozens of them every year. Ask him what a few $100 would do for the work that he does. In our own town, if you want to keep it closer, go sit with Pastor Carly, with D.C. Werner. Ask them about the gospel work they do among students, both international and national, who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's love for them. Sit down with Chad Bresson and let him talk to you about the work he does in the RGV, sharing Jesus with people who have never even understood the truth of Christ crucified. Talk to our missionaries about the simple giving that they so depend upon. Dear ones, do you understand that in the rest of the world, for Christians to live in luxury is an unheard of thing? In the rest of the world, when God gives Christians abundance, they turn it around. Seeing the need for the gospel, seeing the need to feed the poor, they turn it around. Rejecting the American dream, they see the need. Pastor Barr, this is a hard way to think. Of course it is. How many thousands of messages do you and I get every week telling us that the right way to live is the accumulation of all we can get? How often do you and I end up being the man in Jesus' parable who has enough to fill his barn, but instead of giving away the rest of it, he says, you know what? I'm just going to build a bigger storage unit. Barn, you get the picture. The Lord calls us to recognize and to give, to be a blessing, both with the gospel and with those in need. Pastor, I was looking forward to my Rolex. Good. Enjoy your Rolex. Bring it by the office. Let me try it on. I just want to touch a real one before I die. That's all. But recognize that while you and I enjoy our abundance, our Lord calls us to see the need. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Dear ones, if you are blessed, enjoy your blessing. If you are blessed, rejoice. If you are blessed, give God praise for what He has given you. But if you are blessed, open your eyes and remember why you are blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. Jesus tells a story about a rich man and a poor man. Pastor Eden, I do not believe this is a parable. You can disagree with me about that, but you'll be wrong. Because I'm old and cranky. Pastor Bard, why isn't this a parable? Because in no other parable does Jesus use a proper name. But we know the poor man's name is not that Lazarus. Not the one Jesus calls out, a different one. And what do we find? We find the poor man laying at the gate of the rich man, covered in sores, hoping that someone will notice. And we find the rich man consuming his abundance. Jesus describes him as feasting sumptuously every day. They both die. The poor man goes to heaven, the rich man goes to hell. The poor man does not go to heaven because he's poor, and the rich man does not go to hell because he's rich. The poor man trusts the Lord. The rich man trusts his riches. And all of a sudden, you and I see a real picture of America. Oftentimes, with people in need around us, and we're oblivious. Oftentimes, with people who need to hear the gospel, who are desperate to hear about something real in Jesus Christ, and we forget. So I ask you again, where is your heart? Those of you who are students, are you studying in a particular area simply because you know you're going to make a great salary? Brothers and sisters, are you invested deeply in your business simply because you know you can have more? Remember, dear ones, our Lord calls us away from the depravity of the American dream. And He calls us to remember where our blessings come from. All of it from Him. May His grace, may His peace, may His mercy be with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.